Verse 23 of Acts chapter 14, the Bible said, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they came down in Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And they abode a long time with the disciples." I'd like to use for text this morning, out of verse number 27, an open door of faith. The Bible talks about a door of faith that was opened to the Gentiles. As far as I know, everyone standing in this building today is a Gentile. If you are a Jew, you're welcome. But I'm glad that one day God opened the door to the Gentiles. A door of faith. And I want to bring a message today entitled, "The Door of Faith." And look at some doors in the Bible as God would speak to our heart. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for the word of the living God. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful Sunday school hour. Lord, the fellowship is so sweet this morning. I pray, Lord, that each one that's visiting today would already sense, Lord, just a love and a welcome from the people of God, and more importantly than that, Lord, from the sweet Holy Spirit, the one, Lord, that birthed us into your family. And Lord, we pray now that as we go into the message today, that Christ would be magnified. Lord, we do pray that you would help our nation. Lord, you've helped us financially. You've helped us, Lord, in the things of this world. Lord, we need help spiritually. We need help morally. We need to turn from these weak and beggarly elements of this world and turn unto you. I pray, dear Father, that you would just use us now. Give us, Lord, lips to speak what the Spirit of God would have said and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. May someone this day experience that grace. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. There are several doors talked about in the Bible. The way the message was birthed in my heart, we had the privilege this week to visit the Ark up in Kentucky. I don't know exactly how long it's been up there, not too long. I think they finished it maybe in 2016 or 17. It was a big project. One of the things that really impressed me about the Ark was the gospel presentation that was made. It wasn't just built to come and see. It was built that somebody might come and see Jesus. Amen. I'm glad if you understand the Bible, you don't have to get to the New Testament to see Jesus. I'm glad you can see Jesus in a door in the side of an ark. I'm glad you can see Jesus when he said, "Let us make man in our own image." Amen. I'm glad you can see Jesus when, I guess it was Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall be with child." I'm glad you can see Jesus when they said his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. I'm glad you can see Jesus on all these pages from Genesis to Revelation. It's pointing us towards the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I just want to give you five of these doors this morning as the Lord spoke to me, and I know the Lord spoke to me when I was there in Kentucky, but then last night, I don't know if you ever experienced this, you that teach, Brother Brian, preach, Brother Steve, and others, you know, sometimes you're just not sure. And I was sitting there last night, and I was, you know, just, I guess what you would say, really no other way to explain it, but just trying to develop, you know what I mean, this seed thought that God had put in my mind. Brother Rose, I wasn't doing no good. So what I done, I just stopped what I was doing and bowed my head. And I said, God, I don't know what our people need, but you know what they need. And God, I don't know for sure if this is what you want me to preach about or if you want me to preach, but God, you know what's needed. And while I was praying, I'm telling you within a minute or two, God began to just bang, 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 deal with my heart. I was almost afraid to keep praying too long because my memory's not real good, and I was afraid if I prayed too long, I might not remember what God was saying to me. Amen. So I'm going to give you what God gave me and trust the Lord to use it in hearts and lives today. First of all, when we look over there in the book of Genesis, turn back there with me, please, this morning. I believe it's Genesis chapter number 7. Actually, there's a verse in chapter number 6 that I want to use. The Bible said in verse number 16, a window in chapter 6, verse 16, shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above, and the door. Now, wait a minute. It said the door. There's only one. Amen. And the door of the ark shall they set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. I just want to say something before I forget it. Brother Jim and I were looking up there at the side of that ark last week, and they put that door up in the side. It's not down at the bottom. It's not at the very top. It's just about middle ways in the side. I just got to say this before I forget it. But there's a big ramp built down from that door. And Brother Steve, I told Brother Jim, I said, Brother Jim, no doubt a structure that size. And the day before, there were 12,000 people. That was on a weekday after school had started, had visited over 12,000 the day before. I said, Brother Jim, no doubt there has to be a way to get people out of there in case of a fire. I just want to say that before I forget. You'll get that after a while. Glory to God. I'm glad. Listen. There was a water judgment back here. God flooded the earth back here. But there's a fire judgment that's coming. And God made a door to escape the judgment of the water. I thank my God in heaven that he made a door to escape the judgment of the fire that's coming upon this world, amen, and escape the judgment of hellfire. God made a way, and listen, that way is through a door, and listen, the Bible said right here, there's a door in the side of the ark. Look at verse 1 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, this is my point in this first point, come thou, what's those next words say? And all thy house. First thing God wants me to say in the message, it's a door for the household. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's the will of God for my whole house to be saved. You say, preacher, you can't say that. Oh, yes, I can. You remember over there in the New Testament, beloved, you remember when the jailer, he ran in there trembling with a light, and the doors flew open in the jail. Paul and Silas had been praying and praising God at midnight, and God shook the place. That jailer ran in there and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the word of God said that Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But he didn't stop there. He said, and thy house. I'm telling you, listen, this Bible preaches that it's the will of God and the desire of God for household salvation. And when there's someone in our home that's not saved by the grace of God, how we ought to be begging God that they'd find the door, amen, that Noah and his family found, the door of grace to escape the judgment
that's to come. Another one in the Old Testament was Joshua. Joshua, he told him, choose you this day whom you will serve. You're going to serve the gods, little G-O-D-S's, of the Amorites, or you're going to serve the God of heaven? He said, as for me and my house, I like it. We will serve the Lord. Don't you like that? Amen. There's a determination. There's a door for the household, and it's pictured right here in the book of Genesis. The word of God said here in verse 13, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. If you would ask somebody today, they'd say, well, was Noah a success? They'd say, I don't think so. He preached 120 years and only had 7 converts. You understand what I mean? But I'm going to tell you something right now. God put Noah right over there in Hebrews 11, chapter number 6, and said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Here it comes again. I didn't even realize. To the saving of his house. Amen. God wanted that household salvation. Watch this now. The Bible said here, and every beast after his kind, all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Look at verse 16. I'm going to get something here. And the Bible said, and they went in, and went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. This is what I wanted to get to. And the Lord shut him in. I'm going to tell you something. The choir can sing, and I can rejoice. I don't rejoice with a question mark. I rejoice with an exclamation point. My name is written there. I have victory in Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You say, preacher, how can you know that you're saved? Because there was a day, thank God Almighty, when I walked through the door. That door is the next point in the message, the door to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that said, I am the door. I went through the door. Let me tell you what, God shut judgment out, and God shut me in forever and ever and ever. Amen. I don't know about you, but that thrills my heart. Between me and the judgment that's coming upon this world, it's the door named Jesus. Amen. I thank the Lord that, listen, when Noah went in and his wife went in and his boys went in and their wives went in, it was the God of heaven that shut the door. I'm telling you, beloved, we better get a hold of this. The day's coming soon. God's going to shut the door on this unbelieving world, and judgment's going to come, and only those that are on the right side of the Lord Jesus are going to be spared. Amen. Beloved friend, the door to heaven. Jesus said, there's a door for the household. There's a door to heaven. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I wish I could tell you this morning that all over America, there were all kinds of religions, and all of them was pointing to the same door. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, that's just not true. There's all kinds of ways being preached that you can get out of this world and escape the judgment and get to heaven. But I'm going to tell you the one that counts, the only one that counts is the one that said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The one that said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one that said, I am the bread of life. The one that said, beloved, listen, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll go in and out and find green pasture. There's a door for the household. There's a door to heaven. Let me give you this. Thirdly, this morning, there's a door to the heart. Over in the book of Revelation, God is speaking to the church there, and he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And you could take this and make application that Jesus is on the outside of some churches desiring to get in, and that would be a good application. That would be true. But you can also make the application personal. I believe that Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, he said this, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Aren't you glad there came a day in your life when the Spirit of God said, hey, I'd like to come into your life. You say, a door, in order for a door to be worthwhile, really it has to be on some hinges. It really doesn't work real good. Even the door that was in the side of that ark, some way or another, it had to be on a hinge because God, the Word of God, said, shut the door. When you get on an airplane, you know, they pull that door. It's hydraulic, and it comes up, and it seals. It seals that they might seal the oxygen in when they get up there where there is no oxygen. And, beloved, listen, I'm glad, thank God, that there's hinges on that door. And you say, preacher, I don't understand the hinges on the door to the heart. I'll give you the hinges. The hinge, one hinge is repentance, and the other hinge is faith. Beloved, listen, that door to that heart will never open outside of, beloved, hinging on repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the door of faith was opened to the Gentiles because the Gentiles would believe on him who went to Calvary and gave his life. And listen, they buried him, and the third day they rose again. That's why, beloved, they could have eternal life. Oh, beloved friend, the door to the heart. I stand at the door and knock. You know, I thought about this. There are some things that keeps the door shut, that don't allow the hinges to work, don't allow the door to be opened. There, you know, everybody's got a door nowadays has got a lock or two on the door, and a sensor or two hooked to an alarm system. Somebody help me, amen. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, beloved. Pride will keep a door locked. Pride will keep a door locked. I'm going to tell you something right now. I had a lot of problems when I got saved. My biggest problem was pride. Oh, I tell you, I'd done been in the church for so many years. Now, I was respected in the religious community. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There'll come a day when, listen, being respected by men wasn't good enough. I needed the God of heaven to forgive me of my sin and write my name, hallelujah, in the Lamb's Book of Life and help me to understand, beloved, that I could understand and be forgiven by the grace of God. And, beloved, listen, the door was locked up by pride. Some people's doors is locked up by greed. Some people's door in their heart is locked up, beloved, by jealousy and envy and the things of this world. And I'm glad, thank God, there's somebody that's got the key, and that's the blessed Holy Ghost. And he can unlock the door, amen, so that we can get sick of our pride, sick of our sin, and want that door opened. Say, Jesus, you've been standing out there long enough. I want you to come in to my heart and my life. Let me say this to you this morning, Christian friend. If that's happened in your life and you're still not excited about it, there's a problem. You ought to be excited to think that the God of heaven would come to where the likes of you and I were and speak to our heart. And then, beloved, listen, all I really was interested in, Brother Steve, was staying out of hell. I didn't understand all that God was going to give me, all that God was going to do, but it was good enough for me that night just to escape the damnation of hell. But oh, it's so much more than just escaping hell. Oh, I wanted to serve him. I'm glad I still want to serve him. Long as I have a breath, I think about what Brother Fred said. I just want to serve the Lord as long as I can. Hallelujah for a testimony like that. The door to the heart. Beloved, that one man in the Bible, he came to Jesus and said, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life? Jesus told him about some commandments. He said, all these have I done from my youth up. Jesus knew he was rich. Jesus said, I tell you what, go sell all you have. Give to the poor and come follow me. And the Word of God said he went away sorrowful. His possessions had the door locked up. And beloved, listen, as far as we know, he died with the door locked up. You know, if you study your Bible, listen, I don't have any hard proof of this. He may very well be the rich man that lift his eyes in hell. He may be the very one, beloved. See, he was young. He was a rich young ruler. But one day he got old. All of us will. One day he died. All of us will. And beloved, when he died, the door on the castle didn't matter anymore. He might have had the prettiest mahogany. He might have had the prettiest chestnut. He might have had the prettiest acacia wood, whatever that exotic wood was. He may have had some beautiful doors with gold hinges and gold latches, but he missed the door to heaven. It didn't matter. Beloved, listen. The door of faith is a door for the household. It's a door to heaven. It's a door to the heart. Let me give you this couple more things and I'm done. This is something that the average church member, the average Christian doesn't even think about anymore. But there's another door that's taught in the Bible. It's a door to the harvest. Next Saturday morning, we're going to meet together, have breakfast together, and we're going to go out into the community. I can remember going in a church one time, Brother Steve, and on the outside in the vestibule, it said, enter to worship. And when you went out the doors going out, it said, depart to serve. I can remember going in another church and over the door, over the exit going out, it said, you are now entering the mission field. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 9. The Apostle Paul said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Bible Way Baptist Church, we ought to be jumping straight up and down and shouting that God has given us an open door in the harvest of our Lord in these last days. A place to go, a way to go, the means to go, and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:12, Paul said to the church at Corinth, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. In Colossians 4:3, it said, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be praying this week that God would open for us a door of utterance, that we could speak the mystery of Christ to some poor lost soul along life's way. Beloved, listen. You say, preacher, I thought Africa was a mission field. It is. I thought South America was a mission field. It is. I thought the Philippines were a mission field. It is. But I tell you, America is a mission field. So, listen, not too long ago, Brother Houston, you know him, John, over there where they make signs. John told me that a Kingsport policeman told him that 90% of the drugs in Kingsport was from Higher Ground Baptist Church down to the foot of the hill there where the old Ford place used to be. He said, preacher, this is a wicked place. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. It ain't just Lynn Garden. Everywhere you go, beloved, it's a mission field. There's people that need the Lord. There's people, beloved, that's got too much pride to shop at a Walmart. They'd never go in a Walmart. They need Jesus the same as the people that ain't got the money to go to the Walmart. Everybody needs Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. As some say, well, I wouldn't wear clothes unless it come from this store or that store. I'm going to tell you, God's people, we need to humble our heart and thank God we've got a t-shirt to go on our back. Amen. Because it's the God of heaven. Every good gift comes down from Him. God has given us a door to go out into the world and speak. The Bible said in the book of Acts, go, stand, and speak. Boy, that's good. Just to be able to go. Our legs will carry us. Just to have enough mind that we can tell somebody, Jesus loves you. I love to tell somebody, you know, I used to talk like that. But somebody got a hold of me. Amen. Somebody changed my vocabulary. Happy day when I found out that God didn't have a last name that started with a D. Somebody help me. Happy day when I found out there was a drink of living water that left you with a clear mind on Sunday morning and a heart to worship God. Happy day. Happy day. Oh, beloved friend, it's a door for the household, the door of faith is. It's a door to heaven. It's a door to the heart. It's a door to the harvest. Let me tell you something right now, beloved. You say that's for somebody else. I will tell you, there'll come a day you'll regret that. That door to the harvest is not for somebody else. It's for everybody that's been through the door to heaven. Everybody that's been born again has a testimony. Everybody that's born again, beloved, listen, has a harvest field, and we can speak a word for Christ. Let me give you this morning. I'll show you how this developed in my heart. Lastly, in the message today, it's a door of hope. In Mark chapter number 15 and verse number 46, the word of God said, "And he brought fine linen and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher." You know, we're talking now about a door of hope. You know, the children of God in that day, John and Mary, the other Mary, Peter, their hope was diminished. Their hope was crushed. The one that they loved was now laying inside of a tomb, and a rock was rolled across the door. But something happened one day. The Bible said in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 3, "And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" You say, "Preacher, how do you see a door of hope here?" Well, we know that when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. It wasn't so much to let Jesus out, it was to let them in. It wasn't so much that Jesus would have hope. Jesus already knew. He said, "Destroy this temple. Give me 3 days. I'll raise it up again." Jesus didn't die with an uncertain future. I said, hallelujah. Jesus didn't die with an uncertain future. Jesus died knowing that in 3 days, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. But he knew he wasn't going to stay there. There was a door of hope. That sepulcher, the stone was rolled away. They went in. They went and got Peter. Peter ran. And he went in. I love these words. "He is not here." "He is risen." It gets better. "As he said." Just like he said. You say, "Preacher, what's that got to do with us?" I tell you what it's got to do with me. The day's coming. If Jesus don't come first, the day's coming. They're going to roll a box in a church, and I'll be in that box. That box will be about 7 foot long, and it'll be about that broad. But I'm going to tell you something right now, honey. There's a door of hope for the child of God. The Bible calls it a blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Ain't no box going to hold me in this ground. Jesus is coming, and just like he got up, I'm going to get up. You say, "Preacher, why?" Because you said. No, sir. Because he said in the Word of God. He said, "I'll be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye." The Bible talks about he's going to change our vile body. I'll guarantee you those scriptures are precious to Brother Mitchell. in these days. He's going to change our vile body into a body, a glorious body, fashioned like to the Son of God. Beloved, it's a door of hope. The Bible talked about in Revelation chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, I love these words, come up hither. If you'll study the book of the Revelation, the church is not seen in the book of the Revelation from right here, chapter 4, verse 1, until you get to chapter 19 at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church is never mentioned again. The tribulation, all hell is breaking loose on the earth, but the church is in heaven with her Lord and her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride is with the bridegroom. What a blessing that is. I want you to think about this. I read this and I thought it was fitting. There's a small metal door painted white in the side of a tiny mission church in Johannesburg, South Africa. This door is changing lives. On it are painted the words, Door of Hope. That is exactly what it is for various babies within the city. On average, some 40 to 50 babies were being abandoned on the streets to die of exposure or starvation every month. That was before the mission installed their door to a baby bin, allowing mothers to anonymously deposit their unwanted babies and have someone love them and care for them. Now, this mission is saving over 100 babies a year. What an incredible door. Can I say to you this morning, there are people in our community that feel unwanted, that feel like there's no reason to live. But I want you to know, there's a door of hope. His name is Jesus. And beloved, everyone that comes to that door and through that door will experience life. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it abundantly. There's a lot of things that I don't know. But I want to stop and just thank God for a moment. There's one thing I do know. Jesus is the door to heaven. And I'm not going to die, Brother Ralph, without hope. That hope in the Bible now, that's not this, well, I hope I get to eat something good after a while. That's not the same thing. As a matter of fact, it's a word that's equivalent with faith. In other words, Brother Rose, Jesus said he was going to get up, and he did. Brother Rose, Jesus said if you and I had put our trust in him, he said we're going to get up, and we will. Just as sure as anything you know is sure. The word of God is that more sure word of prophecy. Jesus said, no, you don't have to die without hope. There are people today, every moment, somebody's dropping off into eternity. Some will lift their eyes with Jesus. They'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. There have been two big funerals last week. And I'm going to tell you something, not one thing that anybody said at either one of those funerals made any difference in the person's life that died. What's going to make the difference is, did they go through that door? Did they leave that door locked up by their pride, by their sin? Or did they open that door to the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this morning, when they roll that box in there and I'm in it, I've got a few requests with Miss Eve, and she knows about some of them. Number one, I really hope and I pray, Brother Thurman, that day comes in my life that the church will have church. I hope the church will rejoice. Amen. You see, it just all depends on whether we believe the Bible or not. I hope that my family will not sorrow as others which have no hope. We buried my mom, buried my dad, over and over and over. People would say, y'all sure are handling this awful well. Y'all sure are handling this awful well. Well, let me just say this to you. Either we believe the Bible or we don't. I watched my mother and my father both drown in their own fluid. And it was a blessed relief to know that the next breath was in a place where they'll never suffer again. Get a hold of my daddy and try to pull him back over here. He'd whoop me 10 times before I got started out of heaven with him. Amen. Because it's such a wonderful place. It's real to me. If you died today, what kind of hope do you have? Is it a living hope or is it a dead hope? Is it a hope that's in Jesus? Or is it a hope that's in religion? Is it a hope that's in what you give or how you've been baptized or your church attendance? There's only one door. You'll come through that door, you'll miss heaven. No two doors to heaven, just one. No two doors in the side of that ark, just one. I don't know. I can just imagine. I just imagine that when God shut that door, everything was just fine till it started to rain. I believe there was some people. I mean, I'm just using a little bit of common sense. It was wicked. The Bible said the wickedness of man was so great that it repented the Lord that he even made man upon the earth. But I can only imagine, Brother Steve, if somebody had never seen rain before, some old preacher been preaching for 120 years, it's going to rain. I can only imagine that somebody was running to the door. Maybe beating on the door. But you see, Noah, he didn't have control of the door. Noah didn't shut it, and Noah couldn't open it. Preacher, don't have control of the door. You're the one, beloved, listen to me. That door, you're the one that will decide whether it's opened or shut. No one else. You can use excuse after excuse after excuse. But when you stand before God, your excuses will be like water. They won't amount to anything. Pour it out on the ground. Beloved friend, listen to me. Don't wait till it's too late to change your mind. The Bible said that when Jesus comes, God's going to send strong delusion. They're going to believe a lie and be damned. I don't know what happened that day. Maybe they stood around and said, what's this? But I'm going to tell you something. I believe it rained. I'll tell you something else that a lot of people miss when they study their Bible. The fountains of the deep opened up. I believe people were quickly headed for higher ground, trying to get out of the valleys. But I believe the water was outrunning them. I believe there were people that changed their mind. But it was too late to change their heart. May God help us in this day to realize He set before us an open door. The door's still open. The door of grace, it still hinges on repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit can unlock that door. But I tell you what the Holy Spirit won't do. He won't work against your will. He won't force himself on you. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord came my way. Showed me there was a door between me and the judgment that was coming. Gave me enough faith to take a step that night. There was a lot went on after I stepped away from that front pew. Looking back on it, I'd already been in church 6.5 years. I already knew the gospel. I believe that first step, Brother Steve, it was done. I surrendered my will and my heart to the one that loved me and gave himself for me. Let me just say this to you this morning. You might say, why do preachers, churches like this even exist? How many would raise your head and say, because we still believe that message was preached this morning. There's still hope for the sinner. There's still help for the sinner. There's still help for the saints of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand here this morning. Break the bread of life. Lord, the liberty has been sweet. Lord, there's a door here for the household. It's a door to heaven. It is a door of hope. It's a door to the harvest. But Lord, all of it hinges on that door to the heart. May we this morning get to see somebody trust Jesus. Somebody give up on self and give up on sin and put their confidence in the Savior. May we get to see some child of God come to the realization that they're not just saved to go to heaven, but they're saved because there's a harvest. We're to be about our Father's business on the way to heaven. Lord, help us today. Help us, we do pray.